First of all, best regards to your listeners. You know, life in Groningen is okay. It comes down to practice and an apartment, occasional walk, a pickup food, and I guess, you know, that's it.
You haven't really had the time to really go into the city. Well, with COVID, that's
probably pretty difficult. Last 3 weekends where we had off without playing basketball game, an official game. After practice, I go and take a longer walk downtown. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of long walks, but I do like it when I'm in a new city. I like to explore and see every neighborhood. I really like Groningen.
You live here with your wife and one kid, two kids?
My wife and two kids are in Zagreb because they go to a school over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided after, you know, being away from home many years to for the kids to feel home a little bit more next year. So therefore we decided for them to go to Croatian school next year, and we'll see what happens for the next season.
Yeah, because you signed for 3 years. So
yes.
If you're here 3 years on your own, that might be a little bit lonely. I could.
Well, it is lonely, you know, but when you sign up for this job, it's like a soldier's job. You sign up for the distance, and as well as my players, you are away from your family, and you know, your team becomes your family, and it comes with the job. So, you know, it is it gets difficult sometimes. It's challenging, without a doubt, especially, but as I said, you know, you just got to accept the reality of it and be a professional, do your job while you're here. So I'm focused on that.
Have they seen the city already?
Yes, actually, they came to visit me last 9 days. They were here. So unfortunately, it came down for a lockdown, so I couldn't take them anywhere. But not even the museums were closed. So Forum was closed, museums were closed, and
yeah, you couldn't get on top of Forum as well, or
no, we
couldn't. You really didn't.
They just came when the Forum was locked. So
yeah,
we you know, we did some Paterswolde Lake walk, Lake Mare, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we went for some outdoor playgrounds. You know, my kids are into sports, and both daughter and my son are active. So we spent some hours outside.
Basketball or other sports?
Well, it's track and field for my daughter, and my kid is between football and basketball right now. He has 2 trainings of soccer a week and 3 trainings of basketball. I mean, he's young, he's 10, so
yeah.
He's still not seriously engaged.
Yet.
Yeah. We will not push, but the decision will be made. It's going to be a clear decision.
You will give it a little bit of a try, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. Now we play like it's a democracy, but we know it's not going to be.
Yeah, it's not really. It's much better inside as well. It's warmer during these times.
We are like Trump, you know. From outside we talk democracy, but inside we're totalitarians.
Well, that's one of the things you at least had to do while you've been inside all these days. Watch that, Biden versus Trump. Have you? I've seen an Instagram takeover of your brother Damian. He actually speaks really good Dutch. Do you speak any Dutch already, or are you planning on learning that?
He's in a process of learning. I'm not. You know, players after practice they go home and they do other stuff. Coaches after practice have meetings and have preparations for the next practice. So my off time is not the same as the players' off time. You know, so. He has more time to do it, and plus he had a experience of 2 years in Belgium prior to coming over here. So he has a base of a Flemish, and he has a talent for languages. I'm not that talented for languages, but I'm not in the process of learning either. There's so many other stuff that I gotta do right now, and maybe it's gonna come after Christmas.
Maybe after Christmas, but so you haven't really made plans on that yet.
No plans for now.
No.
I have no problem picking up languages of Europe. I'm a European citizen and I speak already 4, so...
Yeah, I watched a FIBA training of you with a couple of young kids. You spoke French and Spanish and all kinds of stuff.
So I'm not in a rush with Dutch. It's going to come, but I don't have time for this right now.
Yeah. Last one of the how are you living right now kind of questions. When you compare it to the other cities you've lived in, how does it compare? How does it stack up?
this is the part when you expect all nothing but compliments, yeah?
No, I don't actually.
No? Okay.
Because you were look, in Geneva.
I consider myself citizen of Europe, and every part of Europe feels home to me.
Yeah.
And from Macedonia to Portugal, everywhere I am, I feel honestly at home. It's a strange feeling. Many people say, but why these people are like this, or they have these little differences. You know, we as Europeans, we need to understand how unique and the same we are. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a difference between continental habits or you know, from America ways of living. I think. And to not go too far into philosophy, I really feel like every city is a home, as long as it's a city. And by city, I mean 100,000 plus. I am not a guy who is able to live in a village, in a small village. I'm just a city boy. And if you look at the teams that I've coached, very few of all the teams were around 100,000 plus populations.
And it's
important for
cities.
Me. It's important for me. So I think it's important to have an energy of a city, and this is how I'm used to operate, and this is how I operate the best. So Groningen is a beautiful European city, and I like it, and I feel really comfortable here.
You sound also really European-minded in that way. Like you're talking about all European cities are kind of, we should focus more on that we're not, it's not that different living in Groningen or in Geneva.
Of course, or in, I don't know, or in, choose any city, I mean, Zaragoza or, I don't know, Treviso, I mean, the way the people live, the way the habits are, the way the people exchange and interact, it's similar, you know.
Yeah. Talking about a little bit more about basketball then. You started coaching when you were really young, I noticed. Why is that?
I realized quickly that after two surgeries I will not have the career as a player as I was supposed to have, so I made a surgical cut to stop playing. I really stopped playing early, so focused on the school. I enrolled in University of Political Sciences, and after 3 years I switched to kinesiology. And by that time, I was approached by one of the greatest mentors in Croatia, now deceased, unfortunately, great basketball personality in my hometown Zagreb, to be his assistant. And I was 23. By that time, Damian was growing up and entering his very important basketball development phase. So I used to train him a lot individually over the summers and during the season. And I always was close to individual development, you know. But then after, when I was 23, my first mentor really put me in a system, and he wanted me to become his assistant in the first division and also to train under 16 and under 18 categories. So I started early, and I've been through the whole pyramid of youth categories, and I'm really happy that I've been through the whole pyramid. You know, many coaches just jump into the men's basketball and senior basketball, but I really went gradually. And I grasp that concept of development, and I still implement that in all of my teams that I coach. And I believe in development is the big part of conducting a team in the courses of the season. But yes, I started quite young, so I'm already I'm already like 16 years of coaching career is behind me.
Yeah, and you're now I believe 40.
I'm
right?
40. Yes.
Yeah. What is the big takeaway that you got from those youth teams? That development, personal development type of stuff. How do you implement that today into your practices?
It helps a lot during Corona times, because normally when I hear coaches cry, "Oh, I cannot have a practice unless I have 10 players," for me it's just it's crap. It's just cannot match, because even if you have two or three or four players on practice, you can still do many things, offensively and defensively. Group trainings are very important part of development of under 16, 19, under 18 categories when it comes to repetitions, because in certain basketball elements, let's say like you want to improve changes of direction.
Yeah.
How many times you can do it when you play 5-on-5? How many times one player can repeat a change of direction while playing 5-on-5? Maybe one or two times in a game, in a practice.
Yeah.
But in a group trainings, in individual trainings, you can repeat it 100 times, 1,000 times. And in basketball, repetitions means progress. You cannot make progress by words. Basketball is very technically demanding sport. It requires various amount of skills when it comes to ball handling, dribbling, shooting, passing, and if you don't overcome those content when you're under 16, under 18, you're not going to be able to become a successful basketball player. So this is the most sensitive time in development of a player is under 16 and under 18 category.
Yeah.
All over the place, all over the world. And if you look at the footwork of, for example, I don't know, let's talk about Kobe Bryant, for example, or footwork of Davis or Michael Jordan. His footwork was not developed in Chicago Bulls. His footwork was developed in under 16, under 18 years of his development. So therefore, this part of my coaching career, when I started in first 3-4 years when I coached under 18, under 16, was really important for me to understand the concept and the methodology and to get better and perfect the methodology of development.
That is also one of the, in one of the earliest interviews you had with Donar, you said that is one of the big things you want to do here, right? That is the youth development as well and getting a bunch of core young Dutch guys, specifically, I think you called it, into the first team. The guys that you have on the roster right now, like Kjeld Zuidema, Shetty Adetunji, have you been impressed by them? Or is there a lot of work to do?
I'm not easily impressed, but I am really, really positively surprised and very happy to see the level of their dedication. You know, and when you see a player who has dedication, then you can give him even more. Because teaching is two-way communication. You know, you can preach and teach and push player to train, but if the player really doesn't have dedication, it's not gonna be a result. But they have dedication, and this is the big thing I think that that I like, and we can build on that. Plus, you know, Donar has really good mentor in Pete Miller, who they had when they were under 20, under 22. So Pete really did a good job preparing these kids emotionally for me, you know, and for demands of the men's basketball team, and that makes my job easier. But it's a still long way ahead of them, you know.
Do you feel like, because there have been a bunch of talented guys before them, like Tim Hoover plays now at Aris and Sjoerd Koopmans plays there as well, Van Hoeksem at Apollo. Do you feel like these guys will develop over time to become first team Donar players?
It's hard to make that type of projection, you know. You need to have a criteria. Criterias are, I think, since Donar is playing European competition, it must be athletic skills. So first of all, if they don't have athletic skills to compete and defend on a high level, they won't be able to play. And second of all, we have to talk about technical skills. What is their technical skill level for their position?
Yeah.
And third thing, tactically. Are they mentally and emotionally ready to tactically comprehend playing for Donar? So it's various factors that will decide that.
Did you watch Kjeld's Insta takeover yesterday, I believe?
No, I don't have Instagram. Honestly, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch that.
He got a question in the Q&A from a fan, I suppose, which asked him what was the biggest difference between the youth basketball and the pro level. And he said he was, and I quote, he was shocked to see how much faster and how much more able these guys were, and that he is learning every day. But that's what you mean, right? That's the big difference between those things.
Yes, that's a big difference. But understanding who you are, it's also important, you know, Yannick, the players you mentioned, are they aware who they are in whatever the club you mentioned? And are they aware where they must be and what it takes to get there? You know, just by wishing, it's not going to happen. You need to put hours of work in a weightlifting room or repeating certain technical elements to get better at them. So it's really a huge amount of repetition that is between who they are and who they expect to be, or who you, Yannick, expect them to be for Donar or for Den Bosch or for Zwolle, like top three teams, you know. So it depends a lot on their environment. Are they in a lazy environment? Are they in a hard-working environment? Are they having like a 1 hour practice a day and then they go home and play video games, or I don't know, honestly, you told me Kjeld had an Instagram yesterday, but Kjeld was 6 hours here.
Yeah.
Did you ask him when he came to the gym and when he left?
He showed us. That's
so
the nice thing.
I really, you know what I mean? And I'm sure, yeah. I'm asking you, do you think the other guys are doing that?
Yes, of course.
So if they are, then sky's the limit.
Of course. When you came in, people are always, well, in the basketball world, there are a lot of people and not everybody knows each other. So when you came in, everybody did his research and asked around what type of guy is he and what kind of basketball does he like. And one of the guys to ask, at least for the media, was Ivica Skelin. And you know him, I suppose. You're laughing already.
Yes, yes, great guy. Great
yeah.
coach.
Well, he said about you that you are not stuck in Balkan basketball. And what everybody, I believe at least, forgot to ask him is, what is Balkan basketball? Why are you not stuck in Balkan basketball? What's the definition?
Bravo. You know, it's a good question and it's a not a short answer, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. What Ivica meant was, when you look at the Balkan culture over the last 15 to 20 years, it's usually long half-court offenses with dominant center players of 215, 212, 210. I think he meant that. And you know, many teams, when you look at Adriatic League, they push for an inside game and it's slow pace, but very tactical and physical.
Yeah.
I think this is what he meant. I'm not that type of... this is not my preferred basketball style, but I do respect it and then I have to know how to play against it. And there are certain elements that I implement, but I like faster basketball, and I think he meant by that and giving certain level of more freedoms to certain players in a team. And I just like when team has a balance and hierarchy on all positions. And I don't think basketball can be put it in a box, you know. And I am not a believer that I can come everywhere and play my philosophy. You have to play also players' philosophy that you coach. I mean,
yeah.
You cannot choose 12 guys from the dream book. You know, you have a certain type of talent and these guys have certain skills and you need to create a system around those skills. This is what it is for coaches who coach high-level men.
You need to put the guys into a system that works for them.
In a way, yes. Yeah. Because if you ask him to do something that he doesn't know how to do, then it's going to be just a waste of time until you enforce the system on the player. So the system needs to be a part of the coach's basic philosophy and a tailor-made system for the team you coach or for the players you're going to have.
Yeah. So far, I've seen a couple of games. We haven't had too many opportunities to watch you guys. Sorry to say that, but it's true. What we also haven't seen is a lot of Juwan James, and I think that he would be a very key aspect in that system, in your system, as a little bit of an, we're going to get technical now, but a little bit of an undersized center and a little bit of small ball. Is that something you like?
This is something that I like to have in my arsenal.
It's one of the tricks in the
book. One of the tools, yes. And you know, Juwan is a player who knows me and knows what I want, and we understand after being together for 4 years, we understand each other now looking at each other. So it was important to have a guy who has that level of understanding of the philosophy and my methods. But also I knew that Juwan is somebody who is the most unselfish player I ever coached. So this guy doesn't care about his stats. He just wants to do his job, play his defense and win by all means. And he's the guy who brings physical presence, and this is the type of the message I want to send to both his teammates and both of our opponents, you know, and also our opponents, that we have a guy here who is not afraid to sacrifice 5 fouls in 5 minutes if this takes to win basketball games.
You said that it was important for you to have a guy like Juwan that knows you, knows your philosophy. You had Devante Lacy before, I believe, and of course your brother. How much of a difference does that make, that you have three guys already in the team that really know how you want to play? Is that how important is that?
I know it's important when it comes to the IQ of the team, you know, and Damian is a high IQ player, Lacy is a high IQ player, Juwan is a high IQ player, And we have Thomas, who is a high IQ player. And I think because we have that type of profiles of players, it helps the team progress a lot. It makes everything faster. Normally, what it is 2 years, it's maybe a year and a half. What is 6 months could be 4 months. What it's 10 months of learning could be a 6 months, you know. So this makes difference in today's time.
Yeah. What I've learned from the last couple of years is that most of the last couple of years, Donar has been struggling, if you want to call it that, with having to put up a new team. How are you going to try to get that continuity?
You talk about struggle continuity. I don't want to have a struggle in continuity.
No,
which
you don't.
Which continuity you mean?
No, I mean most of the time they lose a lot of players over the summer, and then they have to.
That's different. Then you cannot say that Donar has problems putting a team together. You can say that Donar has problems keeping the players.
That's what I meant.
That's another thing, and I don't think it's only Donar in this situation. Look at Den Bosch. Look at, for example, you can name in every league five teams that have that issue. Why is it an issue? It issue because, honestly, I don't know what happened in the past, but I'm just talking about a general market rules.
Yeah.
Is Donar is not the richest team in the Europe.
No.
It's that Holland League, Dutch Basketball League, is not the most respected league in Europe. And all those players that left, probably left for a reason.
Yeah, to play somewhere.
I think they would stay. If you ask me, I think they will stay if you play Beneleague.
Yeah. So you're a really big supporter of that as well.
Of course I am.
So that you have that competition element, but also that sportive element.
Can you imagine playing? I mean, I can imagine, but can fans imagine playing a league of 16 teams where every weekend is a game, is a war?
Well, I watched the for Europe Cup they played. We played against Filu Oost and the last year, I believe. Fieler, of course, played for them. He played here as well. So that was quite a big hype with the crowd. But it was also really nice to watch. And that's also with the European basketball why everybody likes it so much, I believe.
Of course,
two teams that really compete at the highest level.
Yes.
And with all due respect, but if you play Almere Sailors, that's not the same type of energy, I think. You
yes,
agree?
You're right. Yeah. Right. And fans know this. You know, this is, we talk about fans who know basketball, and they would appreciate a great competition and every weekend.
Yeah. Well, we can only wait and see how that will turn out with Beneleague. Last kind of question about players and all that, but you coach your brother. You've coached him before, and maybe a dangerous question, but I was wondering, will that ever lead to tension between you,
Damian?
Guys. Yeah, Damian.
Of course, Tension is my middle name, so he knows it, and I know him, and I know he's a professional, and he knows that I am, and you know, tensions are the part of the process, man. It's how you grow as a team. Tensions are normal thing in a team between player and a coach, and a coach and a coach, and player and a player. So I don't run away from that, and neither do players, as long as everybody understands what their job is and how to do it the best possible way. Tensions or no tensions are welcomed.
It's maybe also better if there is a little bit of tension to get that competitive side
it's
out
always
of everybody.
Better.
Yeah.
And he's a older generation, you know.
Yeah.
He's
you mean
not,
that he
he's not a millennial who is afraid to be outside of the comfort zone.
He's seen it
he
all
understands
and he knows
what a tough love is and tough criticism is. He's an old school player. And we have more of these characters in the team. That's why I'm very happy.
Yeah. You guys are training now under COVID restrictions. You've already touched on that a little bit with that you actually think that there's still some work to be done when you train 2v2 now, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, the new measures from the last week say for groups of four,
yeah.
two on each two on each basket.
Yeah,
I don't think they know the measures. The people who prescribe the prescribe
so
the medicine, I don't think they know the cure.
No.
Yeah, but anyways, let's call them a measures. Yes. So
yeah.
We train in the measures and we adapt.
Is it, you said that you could do, still could do work, but it mustn't, it isn't really, well, not up to par. That's maybe the wrong term, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
No, it's killing our progress.
Yeah,
it's absolutely killing our progress. It's killing progress of every team that wants to compete in European competition, to present the country, to present the city, and it's killing us.
Yeah, because you're knocked out of Champions League. The Europe Cup only starts in January.
Yes.
But, for instance, I was just this week thinking, well, if they would have been through in Champions League, it wouldn't have been any good. Because even if they were allowed to play, for instance, in somewhere in Belgium or here in a bubble or anything like that, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to train for weeks now.
Exactly. And we would not represent the country in the best possible way.
No.
Doesn't make sense. This rule was not tailor-made for sports. It's a general, typical administrative decision.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm surprised because I always, from afar, you know, I admired Holland and Holland's culture for multiple sports. And I was really surprised that they only allowed football to continue and treat us and handball and volleyball like we are not relevant. So
no,
I'm surprised, honestly.
There's a big discussion in the country, which you probably have seen, that what is top-level sports? What is that? And for our government at the moment, they say, well, it's only football, only men's football in the top two categories.
But that's a joke.
Yeah, because if you just, you've been talking about practicing and the kind of mentality that your players have, it's almost an insult, I think.
It's a big insult.
Yeah.
It's a big insult. Not only for us, not only for basketball players, people who live for basketball, but for other team sports. It's a big insult. And you know who even bigger insult is? For the kids, the message you send.
The kids growing up now.
Culture of
basketball.
Soccer. What is the culture of soccer in the last 10 years? Tell me.
Money.
Mostly. Money and nothing else. No. Money, put some gel in the hair with all the respect and act like an irresponsible, spoiled brat.
Yeah.
So this is the message you send to the kids, and then you tell, okay, there's only a professional sport is soccer. I disagree with that highly, and we were all very angry about that. Not only us, but also other sports, colleagues in other sports too.
Yeah, and your players, for instance, how have they reacted to needing to train under these measures, so-called measures? And
well, look, we're professionals, we adapt, but the general message is terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And it comes down to money in the end.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's... So it's just an Holland example. In other countries, similar decision types are made. Yeah. But
now there are still talks with Minister van der Ark, from their arch, if you translate it. I was just thinking. And there have been talks about, or rumors about, that you will be able to train in full 5-on-5 if you wanted to in about 2 weeks time or something like that. They're in,
I hope, sooner
now.
Hey, don't put the word in his brains.
No, don't put 2 weeks.
Let's hope next week.
Let's say
tomorrow. Next week.
No, but is that in time, or well, you still can't play games, but is it enough? Like,
look,
if you can just
it's
train.
It's never enough.
No.
It's never enough. But generally it's wrong.
That's just a big
it's
thing.
It's wrong for basketball.
Yeah.
And it's just wrong. We can talk, but on the end it comes, is it right or is it wrong? It's wrong.
Yeah. And
we are going from apartment to Martini Plaza. We are all tested.
Yeah.
And we are all healthy. And we don't move around, we don't go anywhere. We just have to train and eat and sleep.
Yeah.
And now we're not allowed to do that.
So
you know what I mean? So that's doesn't make any sense.
And as well, you haven't had, apart from when Yuan came in, although he didn't have any signs of COVID, he was tested positive, I believe. But
yeah.
Apart from that, there have been no COVID cases,
no cases
still to report.
No cases.
If we look at football, if I tell you that FC Groningen weeks ago had 3 COVID cases within their group, staff, and I believe one player of the second team, but don't quote me on that. What's your reaction to that? Because they can still just go out and play.
Just says what we talked about before, you know.
Yeah.
Shows that we were right.
Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel for that problem?
But this is not my tunnel, honestly. My tunnel is my team. It's not society's tunnel. If you talk about these tunnels, you're never gonna get out of the depression. So I focus on my guys and on our team, and we're really happy that the season is gonna start soon, hopefully. To talk about politics, you're gonna spin in a circle like a dog chasing its own tail. So yeah, it's better to run away from that and stick to the things that you can impact positively on a daily basis. And this is your mental health, your spiritual health, your physical health, and control your team.
Yeah. Well, enough on the COVID then, because it only gets us up into high emotion, I feel. Tonight, did they warn you?
About what?
It's the 11th of November.
Uh-huh.
And I hope you have candy in your home. Because
the kids going in the neighborhood.
Yes, exactly. It's Sint Maarten. So I just thought at the end of the interview, I need to give him a little bit of a warning that if there are kids ringing his doorbell and singing with their little lights, then it's polite to give them some candy and not slam the door in their faces.
Honestly, I think I have an advantage. I like kids. I'm going to open the door and listen to a couple of songs, so it's okay by me. But I think these kids today are not going to be tough enough because they live on the top floor without an elevator. So maybe they're going to be lazy to climb
they
up.
They have,
you know,
to be really, really hungry for candy.
So we'll see if
there
kids from Groningen are hungry enough to climb on the third floor.
Well,
I will let you know. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting sociological experiment to
yes
see.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Mr. Ruiz. And I hope this gym will be, well, at least full of players playing 5-on-5 basketball. So I hope to see you then next time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And best regards to your listeners.